would have someone else transcribe them for him, and then his partners in the ministry would carry them to the churches. They would gather together in homes, and they would read the letter with excitement about what Paul was encouraging them. They would share those as they would go. The elders would go house to house, and times have changed. We are living in a day when we can have a sanctuary such as this that would hold hundreds. There are sanctuaries across town that will hold thousands. This morning, we have hundreds of mobile viewing campuses at New Passion in homes. And instead of the elders going home to home, we're able through technology to join together and to band, as it were, hundreds of homes and some of the community groups that are watching, and to be able to share the Word of God and study the Word of God. And I'm glad to be able to say to you in this no rival season in Colossians 3, as you find your way there in your Bible or your application this morning, that there is much to be applied for where we are today. And, you know, it helped prevent the standing room only problem we might have had today. I think I heard Brother Steve said Tiger Woods was watching. I'm not sure if that's a screen name or it's actually Tiger, but the preacher in me says, hey, Tiger was listening to New Passion this morning. You know, we can take it from there. But if you want the newest CDC recommendation for how to tell if you're at risk, I could pull up the magic mirror and look out like we used to and see Jimmy and see Nicolette watching. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're not old enough. You're not at risk, probably, for the problem that we're having. If you know what I'm talking about, and some of you do, and you're laughing on your couch, some of you know because that's romper room. Millennials never have seen romper room. You don't know what I'm talking about. So if you understand romper room, you probably know you're at risk, and that's why the church loves you enough to transition to online services during this time. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3, Paul said, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you laid aside the old self and its evil practices, and to put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. Father, for the next few moments, we'll ask that you take and anoint the preaching of your word. It is your word. Nothing that we can bring to this platform this morning, nothing that we can say, will bring any merit, any worth, any value. It is only when we preach your word and through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you take the word and apply it to each of our individual hearts where we are this morning. We thank you for technology. We thank you for the ability right now to be speaking to people and preaching to people that may have joined that had never been in this sanctuary. But Father, today they need to hear from you. They need to know that you care and you do. They need to know you love them, and you do. And they need to understand the church cares, and the church is here for them. And Father, so for the next few moments, we ask that you anoint the preaching of your word. In Christ's name, we ask it, amen. I want you to notice first that this letter is not written to everybody that could pick it up and read it. It is first written to a selective group of people. And that is found in the first one. It said, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above. There's two types of people that are here, two types of people that are listening this morning. Your determination of the type of person that you are is not made up by the pedigree that you have, by the bank account size that you have, by where you live in the city or in the county, by whether or not your county called off eating in dining rooms or your county did not, whether or not you have difficulty at work or you're a manager at work, or maybe you are what they call a golden child, or you're a person who has to do most of the labor. It doesn't matter whether you work manually or whether you work administratively. It doesn't matter how big or how small your bank account is. That's not what determines what type of person you are. There's all the two types of person: those who have died with Christ, accepted his grace, and those who have not. Now, this morning, if you have never received Christ, you might pick up this portion of Scripture and you begin to read and you say, well, these are some things I should stay away from. And indeed, they are good advice for everyone. But do not be mistaken. This is not written in Scripture that you might pick up and follow these deeds and say, well, if I do not do these things, therefore I must be okay with God. It is not deeds that save you. It is not the moving away from deeds or the not performing certain deeds that saves you. It is without the Holy Spirit. What you are this morning is you are flesh and blood, and your flesh and your spirit are tied together, and together they are dead. As sure as when you took your first breath, you were born into a world where gravity is real. As soon as you took your first breath, you were born into a world that in a 24-hour period of time, morning and night will come. And in a 12-month period of time, the seasons will come. As sure as that is a rule, it is a rule that when you were born, you took your first breath, then you were born in sin, away from God, unable to reach God of your own. You say, but I was an innocent baby, and somehow along the way I became a sinner. No, you were born a dirty, rotten sinner. Thankful his grace is merciful to children. But however, you were born a sinner. You were not born righteous and then become ungodly. And so as a person this morning, you need to understand you have flesh and blood, and you're a physical being, and you have a spirit. And when you are born, your spirit has no life. It has eternity, but it has no life. And flesh and spirit are tied together. And when you grow up and you begin to make choices about what you're going to do and where you're going to go and how you're going to live, your flesh entices your spirit to become a certain type of person. And until you've met Jesus, you will follow along with the whims and the wills of the flesh so easily because it appeals to you. It feels good. It sounds good. It's something that is attractive to that flesh, to death, and to the things that where we without Christ have an appetite, your appetites, your fleshly appetites. And it is impossible without the Holy Spirit to have those appetites. You are as a spiritual zombie. Okay? The title of the message, Spiritual Zombie No More. You're as a spiritual zombie without Christ. You are going to the things of the flesh. Your spirit is following your flesh on a day-to-day basis. If you are listening this morning, if you are here in attendance this morning, and you find yourself fearful and you find yourself wavering about the day and the time that we are in, let me encourage you. Christ is a firm foundation. Christ is a solid rock. He can calm your fears. Now, listen, when you go and accept Jesus Christ, when you cast your life and turn your life over to him, that is not a guarantee that you will not catch whatever the newest name they come up with, coronavirus, COVID-19, whatever the name is. It's not a guarantee you won't have problems in life. It's not a guarantee you won't have sicknesses in life. Our flesh one day will die. Our flesh will come to a point where it reaches its last breath. And the difference is whether or not we have the hope and the anticipation that Jesus Christ has provided for us and that we're going to live forever with him. And so as Christians, we can be calm. We don't have to be in turmoil. We don't have to be in dismay. We don't have to be torn up with fear because of the day that we're living in. Instead, like Pastor Nick said, this is the day the church should be at its busiest. The church, those who know Christ, should be out giving the good news that Jesus loves people and he is there for them. Many, many. There was young people this week that gave up to despair because of the things that were going on in their home. They had nowhere to turn to. You should pray for your youth pastor, Brother Steve, and the work that they're doing, because young people are going to be listening for answers. They have not been told where to go or what to do, and they do not have the answers. They need to know that Jesus is a safe place to run to. The scripture is written to those who have died to themselves, surrendered their lives to Christ to serve him, accepted his free gift of forgiveness by faith. And listen, by faith alone. Salvation is not hard, but it is a repentant decision, a death to self. Those in grace, this is where the mystery begins. When you die to yourself and you accept Jesus Christ and his free atonement, the Holy Spirit moves into your life, and the mystery begins that the world cannot understand, that when the Holy Spirit moves into our life, there becomes a division between the flesh and the spirit, so that the Holy Ghost of God living in our life can begin to quicken our mind, can begin to renew us, and can begin to convert us from the old self to the new self. He can begin a process which makes a change that Paul is talking about here in our life only through the Holy Spirit. You can hang around church people all you want. That will not give you the power to change. Salvation is not hard, but it is a repentant decision. It is a death to self. The old nature exists. It still wars with the new life. Now listen, there are doctrines that go here. And I want you to understand, you're not sin-free. Even in the process, I could give you an example from Hardee's just about 2 weeks ago. And I won't take up too much of my time because I only have 2 hours. But, and for those of you, that was not a laugh track. That was real people. But we actually... It's a process, and you can say, well, things are going pretty good. I'm happy in the Lord, and things are going great, and I'm having a great morning. And you can have your grandchildren over, and you can be on your way to go to church, and it's time to grab some breakfast. You think, well, it's real quick. We'll just run down to Hardee's, and we'll pick up some breakfast real quick, feed these kids, and get to church. And you can go into a line which seems there's two or three, and you say, there's no problem, I'm going to have plenty of time. I'm going to maintain my testimony. I'm going to place my order for my 8 small biscuits. I mean, just 8 biscuits. That's all we ask Hardee's to do, 2 drinks, and we're going to be okay. Well, the line's moving pretty slow, and something begins to stir. You're going to be late. You're going to be late. You're going to be late. And you say, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. I'm not. And so you get your order placed, and then you get in line, and then you get up, and then all of a sudden, they go on vacation somewhere, it seems like. You're sitting at the window. They haven't opened it. You want to reach out. Hey, I ordered something. Do you know what time it is? I've got to get to church to worship God. Attend to me, please. You see, it's not sin-free, because pretty soon, if you're not careful, the flesh will say, look, they're not even caring about you, and you can become so important to yourself that your words all of a sudden may not magnify the Savior. Be careful, right? So I'll tell you the end of that story. They did come to the window. They took my money and then went on another vacation. And the time is ticking. And so finally they came out, and they brought some of the biscuits, and they said, we're waiting on one more thing. And so that gave me the time to make the mistake of looking in the bag to see if it was correct. And it wasn't. And so when they came back with the one final thing, I told them that they had mistakenly got the order incorrect. And so they went away again. And they came back, and they finally got that right. By now, they're going to have to eat the biscuit en route. Okay? But they forgot one of the 2 drinks. It was 2. It was a lot. And they forgot one of them. And so they asked me to pull up. And they did, and they forgot I was there, I guess. You know, it was like, pull ahead, and we'll see you next week. The point is, you're not going to be sin-free, and you always have an opportunity to have that flesh stick its head back up if you're not careful. Paul's not saying you'll be sin-free, but he is saying you'll be able to be free of sin's hold. because fortunately, I was already studying for this message, and I was able to have the Holy Spirit say, now what you going to do? Now let's see what you do. And we thanked her, said, it looks like you're very busy. Thank you for your time. Have a great day. And if you ever need a place to worship, here's a place you ought to go. Always go through the drive-thru so you can invite them to church and let your words be such. You're not going to be sin-free. There's always going to be the opportunity. Don't mistake what I'm saying. But you will be, as a child of God, the Holy Spirit moves inside of us, begins to work a conversion on us, begins to do a change on us, and as we will see in just a few moments, he gives us the opportunity to be able to make a change in the way that we live. Paul is not giving us a list of things to do for grace, but he is giving us a list of things that should become part of our life because of grace. Listen to me, you cannot practice all that is given in the scripture without the power and the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. So if you want to fill this out in your study, the believer has been given life through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at conversion. That's the first point this morning. The believer has been given life through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at conversion. I want you to see that's the recipient of this letter. Those who have died with Christ. That's what baptism is about, by the way. A 15-second lesson on baptism. What baptism is the public testimony that we have died to ourselves and raised in the power of Christ to live in the world as a new creature, a branded not as our old self, but as the new person that we're going to follow and give our life to Christ, surrender our life to Christ. What I have belongs to God. I have a truck. If he needs me to use it, it's his. What I have as a Christian belongs to God. 3:1, he said, keep seeking the things above. What's the next three words? Where Christ is. So not only do we see the recipient of the letter being addressed, but we see the Redeemer being worshiped. It is Christ. It's the work of Christ. It is not your work. It is not my work. If it was left up to us, we'd mess it up. We could not do it right. But focus your spiritual eyes for a moment on the Redeemer and look at his position. Things above where Christ is. There are a lot of people today, and we were in conversations with a missionary in Bangladesh, Tazul. Some of you know him on Facebook. And he says every Sunday he is observing. He's watching New Passion services. He usually is doing that about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night on Sunday night. He's ahead of us. But he's observing the services in Bangladesh, and he gets encouragements from the music, and he gets encouragements from the preaching, and he's going out to villages of Muslim people, and he's sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and to Hindus, and he's feeding widows and children, and he's taking the gospel on the front row, front lines. And we this morning, we look at Christ. He goes to people who have been worshiping a God that they call Allah, and their prophet is Muhammad. And if you go to the grave of Muhammad, his bones or the remnants of his bones will be there. He is not resurrected. He is dead. If you go to those who worship Buddha or those that follow after the Hindu or have ancestor worship, none of them have the privilege of worshiping a living God. Ours is the only living God, the true God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. No other person, Christ alone, no other religion. In 1 Corinthians 15, he said, behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. In 54, he said, death is swallowed up in victory. Where is your victory, O death? Where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We look at Christ. He is alive this morning. And in his position, we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, no matter what men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of praise. And just when I need him, he's always there. Now, I may have got the verses wrong, but know what I'm singing. Or I'm not singing, quoting. Death used to be defeating. Now it's delivering. We see him in his position. He is up in heaven where Christ is. He is not in the grave. He is not historical. We see him in his position, but we see him in his power. It says he is seated at the right hand of God. The Bible tells us that all things have been placed under his foot. We serve the risen Savior, and everything has been placed under his foot. We look at our Redeemer, and he stepped out into the midst of nothing when there was nothing. And the Bible said in the book of John, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by him, and nothing that was made without him. He stepped out and he said, let there be light, and there was light. He stepped out and he separated the firmament of the waters above from the firmament of the waters below, and there were oceans and there was a heaven. And he got the dry ground and he brought forth the animals, and he formed man out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into the man the nostrils of living life, and we became a living soul. That's the Savior that we serve. You look at him in his power. And he planned for salvation before we were ever created. He planned for salvation before we were ever born. And he formed through the passage of time, through Abraham and through the children of Israel and through King David. And he walked through, and then he wrapped himself in flesh, became a babe in a manger. And when he lived 33 years, he walked. And when blindness came to him, he would be able to speak the word, and blindness could not stop. It was brought into vision, and lameness where people could not walk, his touch was made, and they could walk. And there was nothing that could keep him in his power from showing he was Christ. We see him in his power, and the flesh does not need to be dominant any longer. Listen, do not believe the song that was sung, we are not looking to abuse grace. I am so thankful for grace. If I had to get to heaven because of who I was, I would not ever make it. I might make it a few steps short. I might make it a few miles short. I'd never make it if it was on my own. You would never make it if it was on your own. But the Lord Jesus Christ has extended to us grace. And I am so glad of that. But there is an ability that we have not to live as we used to live, but to be able to live victorious with a hope. The world says, how can those people be so hopeful and so excited and so at peace with what's going on? Don't they know what's going on in the world? We're going to die. Well, if we're going to die, we're all going to heaven if we know Christ. There was not one bondage that he cannot break this morning. If you listen, many of the things we have as Christians, many of the things we experience as Christians happened because when we were walking in the flesh, we picked up habits that the flesh enticed us to, and we picked them up. And then as believers, all of a sudden we've got habits and we've got problems and we got bondages. But I'll tell you, there's not one bondage Jesus cannot break. There's not one problem that he cannot solve. My God is able to deliver. He's able to direct. He's able to convert. He's able to reform. He's able to renew. He's able to chastise and empower. He's the righteous judge, the advocate. He's the victorious redeemer. And then I want you to see not only in his power, not only in his position, but I want you to see in verse 3, Colossians 3:3, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It is his provision. You have been provided a hiding place. That song says, rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. We have a hiding place. We have a place that we can go. Listen, your sin demands judgment. My sin demands judgment. You do not get a skip card. You do not get a hallway pass that will prevent the holy and just judgment of God from being satisfied. But in the middle of the apex of time between the Old Testament and the New Testament, in the center of time between the law and grace, stood the cross. And Jesus Christ, the one without sin, hung on the old cruel cross. And he became, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians, he became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. He took on the sin, and all of the wrath that was due for the sin of mankind was poured out onto Jesus, and the judgment of God was poured out onto Jesus. And he said, Eli, Eli, sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As the Father had to turn his back on him, he became the sin sacrifice. There was no substitutionary lamb for Jesus. There was no fig tree that he could hide behind. There was no friend that came to stand beside him. There was nothing that could substitute. Jesus had to take the judgment. He had to take it, and now what should move us is that before the judgment and wrath of God can get to me for my sin, it's got to come through Jesus. And he's already paid the price. You do not get a skip, go to the front of the line card, because when we pass through the door of death, we all have to stand in a dividing line, one or the other. Your sin must be paid for, and when you take your last breath, you will hold either a card that says, I'll stand before God, and of my own merit and of my own walking and of my own being, I will justify myself for my sin. And you will fall short. Or you will come through that door of death, and your sin will be pronounced, and judgment will have to be paid, and you will hand up the blood of Jesus Christ, and it'll be a paid in full card. And your blood that comes from Jesus that covers your sin will be your paid in full card. He is our hiding place. Here's the second, and boy, those clocks go fast. The Holy Spirit is the power source for all life changes, where the old nature is defeated and the believer's mind is renewed. We will not get through all of these, so you take them. I hope you download the outlines. You'll have many scriptures. I will not read them. I'll apologize to those that are working the technical. You'll go through some of these screens in a moment fairly quickly. It's the roadmap. Not only do we have the recipients that are being addressed, that's those who have died and accepted Christ. That's why this letter is given. We have the Redeemer being worshiped, and we have the roadmap that's being given as a potential. When the Lord gives us instruction, listen, when the Lord gives us instruction like he does in the book of Colossians chapter 3, when he says these are the things you should refrain from, do not believe that it is the Old Testament where he gave us the law to be our teacher to tell us that we could not measure up. See, the law was given to us to be our teacher to show us that we could not fulfill the law in and of ourselves. We needed a redeemer. But when the Redeemer came, and when Christ came, and we've accepted Christ, and the Holy Ghost of God lives inside of us and begins to change us and to convert us, then he gives us instructions, and he says, these are the things that you ought to pursue, and these are the things that you ought to shun from, and they are not things that you cannot do. They are things that are possible. They are a potential for you, child of God, that you can make part of your life. Now listen, we in the church, like, who's going to say yes right here? Let me see some hands of who says, I love to slander people. Of course you don't, because it says, other than Jonathan, of course you don't, because it says, I saw your hand, brother. Of course you don't, because it says you shouldn't be slandering. So we don't do that because the flesh says, oh man, I really love to talk about people and all their problems. You can't slander because that doesn't look spiritual. What you can do is you can go to a small group of people and you can say, I've got a prayer request. I've got a prayer request for you. I want you to pray for Brother Phil. And Brother Phil needs your prayer because let me tell you, I saw him out here and I saw this and I heard this and I watched this. We slander, but we do it under the name of prayer. I'll tell you what, if you can't talk to Brother Phil by himself, you need to keep your mouth shut. Talk to God. He's big enough to handle it. So when God is giving us instructions, there's plenty of room to apply it to our life. There's plenty of room to make application to our life. Do not believe that it doesn't apply. Take it, read it. But I want you to look at some action words real quickly. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, look at the word, keep seeking. Then I want you to look in verse 2. Set your mind on things above. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul said, be imitators of God. Then in verse 7, he said, therefore, do not be partakers with them. You were formerly darkness. Did you hear it? You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Colossians 3, 5. Consider the members of your earthly body as dead. You once walked in them. You were living in them. You also now put them aside. Do not lie. What's the words here? They're action words. They're words that you can do something about. Listen, there is potential. God has provided you with great potential. Satan cannot steal your soul if you have trusted in Christ. Satan cannot rob you of your salvation. I said he cannot take your salvation. If you have put your life in the hands of God, you are saved and you are secured, and the devil can't do one thing about it. But he can rob you of your potential. He can take your potential, and he can have you wallowing in the things that the flesh would like instead of being the spiritual giant the world needs. The world needs a church which will stand with the banner of Christ and say, we serve a Savior who has the answer for the world. Do not worry about a virus that comes, about a sickness that comes, about difficulties that come. My God can get you through it. Then we see purpose, the intention of what this letter is for. For your life is hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. There's going to be a day. Philippians 3:14, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward calling of God. He says in 20, the citizenship our citizenship is in heaven. We're going to have a transformed body. We're going to be the Lamb of the bride of Christ to the Lamb of God. We are going to be the bride. He is adorning us. He is preparing us. There is a message, not enough time, in some other point in time to preach in Timothy, which talks about vessels of honor and dishonor in the house of God. Listen, I want to be a vessel of honor. I don't want to be a vessel of dishonor. I want to follow the potential that he gives us there. I want to live in such a way that he's pleased. The power to change is from Christ. The decision to change is from you. Do not mistake that. You are no more renewed by osmosis than you are saved by osmosis. You can hang around spiritual people all you want to. That does not make you saved. You can hang around church people every Sunday. You can listen to the music. You can sing the songs. That will not make you renewed. Your renewal comes when you spend time in the book. You spend time in prayer. You spend time learning and listening and asking God, would you carve off some of those old habits? Would you take this bondage that's got me down? Listen, God can deliver you this morning with the difficulties that you're having, with the problems that you're having, and he's speaking to people right now. That's what he does. And he's saying, he's right here. He's right there. I want to do that for you. I want to do this for you. What will you let him do? It's a decision. It's not just going to happen. You're going to determine you're going to walk that way. You're going to determine you're going to learn that way. You're going to be determined you follow God that way. The benefactor of change is everybody. One child of God that decides to pursue the things that are higher and not the things that are flesh, who've decided, I'm tired of being a spiritual zombie. I want God to renew me. I want my life to be looking like I'm a new creature, not an old creature, not a dead creature, not one that has no hope. I want to walk like I have hope, people. I want to walk like I've got joy, people. I want to walk like I've got someone who's leading my life, who's directing my path. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I don't care what the Republicans say. I don't care what the Democrats say or the Independents. I don't care what the CDC says. I care about what Jesus says, and he will not fail you. He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. He knows the difficulties. We're going to close here. Who's a benefactor? It'll be your family. It'll be your spouse. Some of you too quick to be angry. It's easy to do. We need to love our children more. Because it's real easy to be hard on, especially being locked in with them in prison. I know. I saw a video clip. Guy talking to the teacher. I didn't know how hard you worked, Mrs. Johnson. When the kids come back to school. No, Miss Johnson, they're coming back to school. You got them. They are coming back to school. Have faith, Miss Johnson. We're going to send them back to school. There's parents who didn't know how hard teachers had it. Love your kids, though. Listen, there's teenagers who don't know what to do. There's teenagers who don't have any hope. Church, their parents may not be able to direct them. Maybe they're just hanging around. They don't have the answer. They haven't met Christ. If you're here this morning, if you're listening to me this morning, and you do not know Jesus, I want to encourage you. You can accept him. You can trust him. You can receive him as Savior this morning. It is not hard. You can communicate through the media. There's so many ways, or through emails. You can say, this is my decision. This is what God dealt with me on. I want you to continue to pray with me. We're going to pray in just a moment. And if you're here as we wrap up, if you're listening and you wrap up and the Holy Spirit has moved beside you on your couch or your recliner out on your screen porch, and he's nudged up beside you in the car, and he's talking to you while you're watching it, wherever he's at, or you're in the seats, wherever you are at, if the Holy Spirit has spoke to you, listen, there is an answer. He did not speak to you to try to help you and have you ignore him. What will you say to him this morning? What will your decision be this morning? He can make a difference. He can give you hope. If you don't know him, you can become redeemed this morning. You can go from observer to participant. You can go from one who hears to one who knows. And you say, if I do that, what will it cost me? It'll cost you the lack of fear, the lack of joy. It'll cost you a peace. You'll get a peace that you won't know where it came from. You'll get a stability you won't know. You'll get a family that loves you. You'll get a church family that'll put their arms around you, that will be direct with you, will not lie, and will point you to the cross. What will you do this morning? What will be your decision this morning? Father, let's do this before we go to prayer. Let's do the last one. The goal of every believer to magnify Christ in our lives initiates with our decision, completes through the Holy Spirit's power. Now, Father, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Around homes this morning, maybe places of work, maybe hotel rooms, maybe cars, wherever we've pulled aside, we're watching some through the marvels that you have given us in technology, which we should not take for granted. Some within the sound of my voice in the sanctuary here this morning. Wherever we are, Lord, you're there. You care. And there's decisions that'll be made. Some, no doubt, that would say, I need to trust Jesus. I don't have the hope you talked about. I'd like to trust him as my Savior. And Father, if they will just turn their heart to you, dear Lord, and say, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I have nothing good in and of myself. I understand that Christ died for me, in my place, took my place. And Lord, as best as I know how, I don't understand it all, but all you said I had to do was be serious, be sincere, turn my life to you, Lord. That would be enough for you to take it, to come into my life and to move and to make a change. Maybe you're a believer this morning and you need him to help you with something you've been struggling with. Father, we pray for those that have some difficulties in their life, maybe because before they were saved, they picked up some habits. Maybe before they were saved, they began to do some things that now don't line up with being a child of God, and you're working to get that out, so they can have victory. You don't want them down at the sorrow pool of where spiritual zombies go. You want them to walk as children of light. We pray, Lord, that you would move close now this morning. Let them know that it's a decision to seek and to do some practical things. And they can contact, if they need to contact Pastor Nick through the email or through the medium that they have, and let him know, this is what we're doing, and would you pray with me, and would you have someone help us, Lord, and you'll do that. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you, Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. We give you praise for what you're going to do, what you have already done. In Jesus' name, amen.